As we begin our time around the Lord's table today, I want to ask the following question. Where do you find your rest? Be thinking about that as you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. In the Old Testament, God had placed several rests before the people of Israel. God himself rested on the seventh day of the week, and the seventh day of creation. God commanded Israel to observe a rest from their work on the seventh day of every week. God also commanded Israel to give the land a rest every seventh year. And God commanded Israel to observe the year of Jubilee every 50th year. This year of Jubilee was a release in which slaves were set free, and property that had been sold to repay some form of debt was returned to its original family. These last three rests were all to be lived out by Israel in the Promised Land. But God had another rest, a better rest, a more permanent rest in mind than these. It's the rest that Israel sang about regularly in their times of corporate worship in the Promised Land. And it's recorded for us in Psalm 95. And it goes like this. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. This rest that Israel sang is found only in a worshipful, dependent, submissive relationship with God. It's what the author of Hebrews is speaking about in chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Follow along with me as I read. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered God's rest has himself also rested from his own works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's make some observations from this passage about God's rest. First, in verse 9, this rest is an exclusive rest. It's only for the people of God. In verse 10, we see that this rest is a rest that must be entered into. You're not born into this rest. You enter that rest only when you quit, depending upon the merit of your own works. In verse 11, we see that this rest must be diligently pursued. Because within us there is a tendency, there is a draw to abandon that rest and begin once again to depend on the merit of our own works. In verses 12 and 13, we see that this rest is found only by the one whose whole person has been pierced by the good news of the gospel. They recognize that the gospel speaks into every area of their life, and it reveals the private thoughts and the intentions of their own wicked heart. And they recognize that none of this is hidden from God, and that God sees all of it. And because of it, they're guilty before God in his holiness. So where does a person find this rest? Verse 14 tells us. Verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. This rest is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Some essential truths about Jesus are found in verse 14. First of all, that he is the high priest. A high priest is the one who serves, and Jesus' priestly service was to endure God's wrath at the cross. Verse 14 also tells us that Jesus passed through the heavens. This means that he was raised from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And finally, verse 14 tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, meaning that Jesus himself was uniquely qualified to absorb God's wrath against those who would believe in him. So what's the exhortation to the Christian in this passage? We find it at the end of the verse. The Christian is to hold fast, to their confession. The confession of a Christian is the belief, it's the confidence, it's the trust that Jesus was and he is the great high priest. When he hung on the cross, he received the wrath of God against every person who would believe that their sin renders them guilty before God. And that Jesus' atoning death on the cross is the only means, it's the only means by which God's wrath against them can be fully satisfied. So if you're here today and you have placed your confidence in this Jesus, the Jesus described in this passage, and there is no ongoing unrepentant sin in your heart and in your life, then please join us today in remembering the death of Jesus. If you're here as a believer, as a Christian, and there is unrepentant sin in your life, we exhort you to forsake that sin right now. Leave that sin and join us in taking the elements together. As the elements come to you, take them and hold them and ponder Jesus who suffered in your place. But if you're here today and your rest is in anything other than Jesus, the Son of God, then you need to know this. Your rest really isn't any rest at all. God's wrath is waiting for you the day you die. The good news is that you can enter God's rest if you embrace Jesus, as he is described in verse 14, the high priest who rose from the dead and ascended into the heavens. I invite you to talk with myself or any of the other elders after the service. We would love to explain more about that Jesus to you. But for now, when the elements come to you, simply pass them by. The men will come forward and distribute the elements. When everybody has them, we will take them together.